Exodus chapter 2, we want to look at children of Israel, and they're under the Egyptian bondage. Pharaoh's got his hand on them. God called Moses out to go deal with Pharaoh. And we're in a world today where the world and the world system, normally when you talk, the Bible speaks of the world, it's talking about that world system that's lined up against the church, always has been, always will be, until the Lord comes back and puts down every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The Lord's going to show up, and they're going to declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. What a time that'll be. But until then, we have to face the burdens that Pharaoh has put on us, that the world has put on us. You look at the TV programming today, it's very worldly. It's very indifferent to the moral code of a holy God, God's moral code as written in His holy Bible. The programming is inconsistent with God's moral code. Music, much of the music today is inconsistent with God's moral code. It's nothing that brings glory to God. Just the whole world is lined up against the church, and God said that it would be that way. Said in the last days, men would wax worse and worse. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And you see the kind of situation that we're in today with the culture around us bearing down with its thumb on the church. And it's good once in a while to hear a politician stand up for the church. Now we've got a few that do. Now the last national administration we had just about did their best to try to do in the church, and but we're making a comeback with God's help, and God's still in right in the middle of all that. A lot of the historians will write that God has no interest or plays no part in the affairs of men. If you'll read those history books by Phil Stringer, you'll find out very differently. God has got His hand on everything in the affairs of man. But He'll let man go and give him so much rain, but still God's in charge. Here the children of Israel in Exodus 2 says it, Exodus 2 and verse 23 says it, and came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, don't think for one minute that God don't hear your prayers, and God don't understand the burden where your heart is burdened down for a lost and wicked and dying world. We have to live with the fact that America is murdering innocent blood every day in the abortion clinics around our country. And if you're a Christian, that should burden your heart down, should grieve your spirit that's going on, and there's nothing that we really can do about it except through the political process or as the Bible instructs us, through prayer. But we're mighty through prayer. The Bible says strongholds can be taken down through prayer, and that's our weapon. And this time, in any time, in any age, is prayers to a holy God. He knows what's going on. It says here with the children of Israel, they were God's children, that He heard their prayer. He knew and understood that they were in bondage. So we see the plight of His people under bondage. Pharaoh constantly had his hand on them. And Pharaoh, in the story here, a type of Satan. And the Lord said in Exodus 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. See, God hears our prayers. God knows what's going on in this world. The Bible said there's nothing hid from God. All things are naked and open to Him with whom we have to do. Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the wicked and the good and the evil. God knows what's going on, and we should understand that. I think many times we as Christians get it in our minds somehow that something catches God by surprise, and it don't. In fact, God told us the age that we would be living in. He said, I am come down now, I am come down to deliver them, the children of Israel, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites, Hivites and the Jebusites. There were really no Palestinians. That land was formerly occupied mainly by the Jebusites. So when folks, that's another message, but they start talking about the Palestinians getting their land, there were no Palestinians, there were Jebusites. And every people that gets displaced by another people, you look at the story of the Native American Indians. We talk about Americans moving them out. And I thought our government was very cruel and dishonest with their dealing with the Native American Indians. But the Native American Indians, they'd conquer one tribe and move in and take over that territory, and another tribe would conquer another tribe. That's just kind of the nature of mankind since the beginning of time. So the Lord knows what's going on. He says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God knows how folks are pushing Christianity into the closet. Many times a lot of older folks will look back and say, well, I wish I could do it all over again. Not me. I'm kind of happy where I'm at. I would hate to start over in this society rearing kids. Because if you're going to be true to God, the more this society, the more wicked it becomes, the more you're going to have to listen to what God says and come out from among them. You're going to have to get your kids into a Christian school, get them out of the public school system. You're going to have to look after the programming that you allow them to watch, the computer things, even the cartoons today promote wickedness and abomination. The cartoons. So it's a tough world. Now God's able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, but in this age, you need to keep a close eye and a close watch on your kids, your grandkids. A lot of times it's up to the grandmas and grandpas. My dad and mom, they hauled Jeff and a whole bunch of those kids to church every Sunday. Jeff was always acting out, but about every Sunday they'd get picked up. I don't know if he learned anything. Lonnie, did you go to church with your papa? That is you that did most of the acting out, and you blamed it on Jeff. I think that's how that went. All right. Or at Hogan Hill Baptist Church. My. Bible says that, talks about Joseph, and said he raised makers, if that's pronounced right, M-A-C-H-I-R, raised his children on his knee to the third generation. His children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren grew up on Joseph's knee. We don't have that anymore. A little sidebar, and this is a personal opinion. I can't prove by scripture, but I'll throw one in once in a while. I know everyone's got an opinion. But when I was a little boy, we'd go to a relative's home and there'd be an elderly woman sitting over in the corner in a rocking chair, and you know who'd be ministering to her? The grandkids. Those little kids. They'd be taking stuff and doing things for grandma or great-grandma. And what happened is there was constant interaction between those grandparents and those grandkids and even the great-grandparents and grandkids in the home, because those children would be ministering to them, and now everyone's in a nursing home. You don't have that interaction. Anybody remember those days where those folks... The elderly folks were still in the home and somebody's home, and they just let the grandkids kind of minister to them. Floyd, you remember those days?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good old days.
Yeah. But you got to watch out for those kids, because the world is stacked up against Christianity. You know, I remember the passage in Scripture. It talks about in the times of the tribulation where the folks are so down on God's people, and the two witnesses show up. Moses and Elijah shows up in the tribulation, and you've got a, looks like 144,000 Jewish preachers, and these two witnesses show up, and they finally kill the two witnesses and said folks were so happy that they sent gifts one to another because the two witnesses of God are killed. Man, that's a kind of crazy culture. That's where this crazy culture is leading to. Where folks are happy when something bad happens to Christians. Look out. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look out. Stick with the Lord. Because we're winners. We know how it all ends up. We're the winners. But you've got to be sober. Be vigilant. As for the devil, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You can't just go along with the program, because the program is anti-Christian, it's anti-God. So the Lord here in Exodus 4:21 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, and I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." Isn't that wild? Now the Bible says of Christians, says, "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now are we the sons of God? Yeah. We're adopted into the family of God. We once were strangers and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, but now we've been adopted in by the blood of the Lamb, grafted in to the branch, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. So God's eye is still on us. His eye is on the sparrow. He knows every bird that falls from the sky. He's got every hair numbered on your head. Those of us who have hair. But God's still aware of everything, every issue that's going on in your life. And he hasn't forgotten you. And the Bible says, the Lord said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Another place he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So God's not going anywhere. In fact, he's going to come show up. Going to step out on a cloud and going to call, just like he brought the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, he's going to bring us out. Now he promises here a land that in fact is referred to as the promised land. And that's what he brought the children of Israel into, a place called the promised land, a picture of heaven. And one day he's going to step out on a cloud just when things seem the roughest. When we think that the church don't have a chance. When we think that we can't go on. When all these issues are going on in our families and our children. Man, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. My. Come up hither. And we shall be changed. Man, that'll be an exciting time. I'm wondering if we'll have time for it to be a scary time. I don't think we'll have time to be scared about it. I mean, it says a moment, a twinkling of an eye. That's not very long. Just because swarp, we're gone. We're out of here. Scary, one of my mama's uncles, I forget his name. I don't know if it's John Gabbard or Houston Gabbard. They were out in the field, and I think the eclipse happened. And it started getting real dark, and one of them come running up through the field with his hands up and said, "Oh, God, I'm ready. He thought it was his end of the world coming right then. Need to be ready. But the thing is, we can't divorce ourselves from our God. We have to be true to the moral code that God established for us. We have to be true to his word. We have to pray. Keep our eye on God, knowing that he keeps his eye on us. We need to have that relationship. Up to date, I heard the story where two preachers, they were meeting together, and one said, "Well, I think we ought to pray," and the other one said, "Oh, I stay prayed up," always trying to outdo each other. Well, you may be one of those, "Well, I stay prayed up." Well, I hope you do. Bible says pray without ceasing. I think that's talking about we need to be in a constant back and forth with our Lord. Every decision, it needs to be bounced off the Holy Spirit of God and what God thinks about it. Let Him guide your life. My favorite verse probably, Psalms 57, verse 2. "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me." It don't say God who performs some things for me. David said, "God who performeth all things for me." The more we allow God to perform those things for us, less trouble we're going to get into. The more things that I try performing, the more trouble I get into. Giving it to God. So Moses delivers a message from God to the Pharaoh, and afterward Moses, it says in Exodus 5:1, "And Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a fast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go?" You see how lifted up and prideful he was. "I know not the Lord, neither will I let you go." At this world today, they don't know the Lord. That crowd, that liberal left-wing crowd don't know the Lord. They don't want to know the Lord. They're smarter than the Lord. They're the enlightened ones. They're about love. Love of self. So here the stage is set in the great conflict. And then we see what Pharaoh goes through. See, the world tries to keep you close at hand. Brother Jack Grigsby did a message similar to this on Not Too Far. Pharaoh said, "Well, I'll let you go, but I want you to stay in the land. You can be a Christian, but you need to just kind of stay in the world." And that's what the churches, that's all the apostate churches, that's what they're preaching today. "Oh, you can be a Christian, but oh, we'll still have all these worldly things going on. Your kids will just love it. We've got one for this age group and that age group, and we'll be doing all these wonderful things because of the things that the world loves to do." Now, God may be against them, but, you know, you can go and worship, but I don't want you to go too far. You need to stay in the land. And that's what you're up against. You're up against pressure. Pressure from your kid. Mom, all the kids are doing it. Mom, I can't wear that to school. Mom, I don't know why you won't let me to do that. That's what you're up against. And then as a grandparent, you're kind of walking on eggs, trying to give too much advice to that daughter-in-law or son-in-law. You got to kind of walk on the eggshells before they tell you to take a hike. So you're up against it. Christians are up against it. But realize we have an advocate with the Father. And you don't know a word spoken what it's going to do. What impression. That one little thought might come into the mind a year later when there's some issue that comes up. And you'll remember that, my mother-in-law said this. Boy, she was right. God rest her soul, you know. But got to be careful. But see, the world is lined up against the family, God's family. And you got to recognize that. You got to understand it. Don't be ignorant of the fact. I think one of the greatest problems with the kids today is they're not taught who their enemy is. they're not forewarned enough about the devil and his devices and the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Man, there's a bunch of that. It's innate in the human nature, all those things, those three things. Start, you know, look at Eve, lust of the flesh. Oh, looks, ought to be good to eat. Looks good, lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh ought to make one. And you say it makes one wise? That's a pride of life. All those elements working. They're working today. So you got to take a stand. Bible says Philippians, stand therefore. You're going to have to take a stand. Try to take a stand with your children, your grown children, as they deal with their kids. If it's bad now, just think what it's going to be 15 years from now, 20 years from now. If those children remain under the public school system, look what higher education is doing. Man, it's turning out nothing but goofballs. Anti-God goofballs. Got to be careful. Remember those things that you were taught. Remember the old paths, the old ways. Remember those things your grandpa used to say. Remember the things your grandma used to teach. And how odd and old and quaint they sounded then. How unusual and out of touch they sounded back in the day, but now as you've grown, you've seen that they weren't so far off. You need to put those thoughts in your children's hearts and in their minds and those grandkids. Teach them to pray. Teach them to develop that personal relationship with their Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that will guide them through life. You know, I went to college and I had a lot of godless college professors. But I always had a Bible. I always had a King James Bible. I'd read it quite a bit. Looking back, I never really quite forsook my Bible reading. I got out of church. I went through a period where I thought the first liberal church you heard of or saw, you thought that they were all apostate, that they were all liberal. And you can get to the point you think that nobody believes the book, and so you just lay out a church instead of trying to find one that believes the book. I've seen folks do that. We'll have a little prayer meeting in my house. Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hey, if you don't take your kids to church, guess what? Their kids will hardly darken its door. Next generation, if they just go a few times a month, the next generation, they won't go. They'll go a couple times a year. And by the third generation, they're all pure heathens. Because you didn't do your part. The world's against you. God said it would be. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. We stay in the book. You know, when God sought his promise, he brought the children of Israel out from under that bondage. And I remember reading a verse, I forget where it's at, it talked about when they were in captivity, they asked what they should do, and God, the Lord told them, just go ahead and build your houses, have your babies, and enjoy your life. Just remember, though, remember that God is the one that we serve. We don't serve this world. We're not of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God said you need to be a peculiar people, and the closer we get until the time the Lord comes back, the more peculiar just an old-fashioned Bible-believing Christian is going to look. We look peculiar today to the world around us. I could not have imagined when I was a teenager where it would be today with folks so lined up against the church. Politicians, when I was a young man, if they weren't a Christian, they wouldn't get elected to anything. They couldn't. If they had extramarital issues, or if they had a homosexual issues, they'd never make it through a primary. Wouldn't get elected to anything. Times are changing. Who did that old song? Was that Bob Seger or Bob Dylan? Who? Times are changing. It's an old folk song. It's a pretty good old song. All you folky cats in here. Brother Fletcher, he's kind of a folky dude over here. So, all right, I think that's my message tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? I heard a preacher say one time, and he's right, you and God are a majority. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The kids tonight sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, that's one of those verses that has a double application. And that other one I mentioned in Philippians is a similar one, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, the obvious thing, the way to look at it is that my strength is having the joy of the Lord in me, but you can also look at that to the fact that whenever we do something that brings God joy, the joy of the Lord, that's when we're strong. When we do something pleasing to Him, then we're strong. We have that power because He loves us and He sees that we're pleasing Him and He wants to please us. He wants to be there for us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, you can put the emphasis in another place. You can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And are you hearing what I'm saying there? I can do either the things that I do strengthen me or Christ strengthens me. It depends which way you look at that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Or I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. One of those double application verses. So you have Jesus Christ tonight. You have an advocate with the Father. You have a God whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth that He might show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Your kids, they're in school. You need to warn them. Folks aren't going to like the church. They're going to be stacked up against. They're going to challenge your belief in Jesus Christ. He'll get them through it. But they need to be wary of that old smutty face, as Jack Grigsby called him, old slewfoot, the devil. I'm done tonight. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the children of Israel and the bondage that we're in as Christians. And God's going to get us out of here one day. God's going to take care of us. He wants you to have happiness in this life. The only way you'll find that is through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You do things that make Him happy, pleases Him, then you'll be strong. He must increase, I must decrease. The more you give it to Him, the more of Him, the less of you. The more joy that you'll have in your Christian life. The Lord says, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Doing all to stand, stand. Therefore, having done all to stand therefore. Then it talks about having your loins girt about with all that armor of God. Need to have that armor on as we stand up to the devil with a precious Lord God. He that is in you is stronger than he that is in the world. As we sing, Jeff, what page?
288.
Page 288.